Last week, the final Sunday of 2015, we talked some about setting our course for the coming year, for 2016. And I reminded us that all courses that go forward have forks in them. It is not possible to go to all destinations. There are some destinations that are mutually exclusive from other destinations. So you cannot go to all destinations. All roads that go forward have forks in them. One of the forks in the road has one way goes off to friendship with the world, the other way goes off to friendship with God. And you have to choose a direction. You cannot be both a friend of the world and a friend of God. Many wish that the road did not have such a fork. Many work hard to work out a mutual friendship between God and the world. But it can't be done. You cannot be both a friend of God and a friend of the world. So encouragement as you set your course for the coming year, choose that path that's marked by friendship with God, even though it makes you earn the world's enmity. They recognize that you're not their friend. And I also wanted to remind us last week that when you're on the good road, you can suffer. It seems like, of course, that we should suffer only when you're going down the wrong road. That's one of the marks of going down the wrong road, is you suffer. That if you were going down the good road, things should go smoothly. But it's not always like that. Jesus went down a good road, but it didn't always go so smoothly. Suffering for doing what is right is possible. If it happens to you, don't freak out. It's also not very fun. But suffering for doing what is right, the Lord uses that to teach some very great lessons. So if you take a good road and encounter some suffering, Peter says we should arm ourselves with the purpose of suffering in the flesh. So it's possible that you'll take a good road, but you still might encounter some suffering. It won't be fun, but learn the lessons that it teaches. So today, just a little sequel to last week. How are you going to do life in 2016? One of the main concerns that I have about being Christian is this. Often, actually, in my opinion, way too often, being a Christian is portrayed as a way to direct your commitments and your abilities, your skills and talents. Jesus would like you not to be so selfish. So try not to be so selfish, okay? Jesus would like that. Jesus would like you to love others. So try to be loving, try to be kind. Jesus would like you to help the poor. So make a greater commitment this year to help the poor. But Christianity is not, first of all, about how you direct your commitments and use your abilities. Christianity is about being a new person. Christianity recognizes our inability to direct our commitments the way that we should. Christianity recognizes, I don't care what set of skills you have, they're not adequate to do the things that are pleasing to God. Christianity realizes we have to be changed. You have to be born again. You have to be transformed by the grace of God. You have to be a different person. Christianity is about being a new creation. Christianity is about, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That doesn't mean it's no longer really you. What that means is that there's a new you. That's what Christianity is about. So it's not just a call to direct your energies and your focus and your commitments and your skills to a certain set of goals or purposes or moral examples or path. Christianity is about a new creation, about a new you. And I want to remind us today that as we enter a new year, that if you've received Christ, then you have resources, you have means for living life in 2016 that others do not have. That if you know Christ in 2016, you can live out of a new you. You can live out of a new creation that you are because of Christ. I think you can be excited about the way that you can be, about the way that you can live in the coming year. In the coming year, there will be plenty of opportunities. There will be plenty of temptations to do stuff that isn't pleasing to God. So if you're wondering if there would be such opportunities and temptations, there will. There will be opportunities for immorality. There will be opportunities for pride. There are opportunities for greed. There will be temptations towards selfishness, temptations towards lots of evil stuff. Indeed, lots of courses and many different lies will be determined and directed by those things that are not pleasing to God. But here's the thing for you, because you know Christ. Because of Christ, you can consider yourselves as dead to all that bad stuff, all that evil stuff that directs so many lies. Because of Christ, you can consider yourself as dead to that. That the temptations of those things, of the greed, of the selfishness, of the fleshly desires, of the immorality, of the impurity, the temptations of those things, they don't have to overwhelm you. The power of those things does not have to control you. You could, in the coming year, act in anger. You could be mean. You could be crabby. You could get some revenge. You could abuse some other people. You could be dishonest. In short, if you want to, you could use 2016 as an opportunity for your flesh and for all the things that your flesh desires and lusts after. Certainly a lot of human activity in the coming year will take place because of the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. But because of Christ, you can lay that all aside. You're no longer enslaved to all that stuff. So you don't have to do it. You've been crucified with Christ. So in 2016, though you could give opportunity to your flesh, you could also in 2016 not give any opportunity to your flesh and to its desires. But for today, it's not the things that no longer need to happen that I would like to focus on. It's no longer the things that no longer need to control you or enslave you or direct you. I want to emphasize instead the good stuff that you can do. All the stuff that you can do in this coming year that will be pleasing to God rather than displeasing. I want to read the opening verses of Colossians 3. There are other similar passages in the New Testament. The verses are simply an exhortation based on the change that Christ brings in people. So it's an exhortation based on the change that Christ works in the human person. Works in you, works in me if we receive him. So it's an exhortation about how to live because of Christ. And again, there are other similar passages. The passage speaks of how there's a bunch of old things that now, because of Christ, can come to an end. Before you can know how to get rid of those things, they can now come to an end. They can be finished in Christ. It also speaks of a bunch of new things that arrive, that Christ brings with them, that come with Christ. So let's just read this. I mean, just note like both things that are going away because of Christ, things that are coming because of Christ, as far as how we live our life. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So an exhortation, just based on the change that Christ brings in the human person. So here's the point for today. In 2016, you can do some really cool things. Rather than respond to the tug of immorality, you can respond to the tug of compassion. Compassion that comes right out of your heart, because you have a heart of compassion put there by Jesus Christ. So you can respond to the compassion that tugs at you from your own heart. You will probably face situations this coming year where you will handle them better if your pride doesn't well up and get in the way. Your pride ever messed up a situation? Don't raise your hands. You know, so there's going to be situations where if your pride doesn't get in the way, you can handle them better. Well, in Christ, the new you supplies you with lots of humility. So you can just live out of that. Live out of that humility that comes there by the grace of God. The imagery in this passage is drawn from something that you do every day: getting dressed. The imagery is that of putting on and of taking off clothes. That's what the word that occurs multiple times in the passage means, just in the vernacular in Greek. You take off clothes, you lay clothes aside, and you put on clothes. It's the imagery of getting dressed or undressed. So the adornments, the outfits that mark the old you, the old you that's now crucified with Christ, you're encouraged to take all those old adornments, outfits, take all those clothes off. Quit wearing all that stuff that belongs to the one who is dead, crucified in Christ. When you were apart from Christ, without him, you wore stuff, I wore stuff, that went well with the fleshly you. You know, you had lusts, you had pride, you had selfish ambitions, you had self-centeredness, a whole bunch of stuff that goes with your flesh, with everybody's flesh. So you wore stuff that went well with all that stuff that was inside of you. You wore stuff that just went so that you could demonstrate strife and have harsh words and display anger and carry grudges, have pursuits that were just out to please yourself. I mean, you had selfish shirts. You had crabby pants. He had my get my own way overalls. You know, and you would put that stuff on just to express all that fleshly stuff that was inside. Paul says, don't wear that stuff anymore. There's a new you, one that's been raised up in Christ, one who's holy, one who's beloved, one who's created in righteousness, one who's pure. And there's a new wardrobe that goes with the new you, sized to fit people of grace, sized to fit the new you. You got a compassion sweatshirt now. You can wear that. You know, you got kindness shorts. You got gloves of helpfulness. And Paul says, pull out some of those new duds and wear those things. Put them on. Get dressed up with those things. I'm not saying anything to you that you don't already know. But I want to encourage us here at the start of another year, rummage around in your closet a little bit. All of us, I think, you can get used to wearing the same thing. Whenever somebody does something to you that you don't like, it's very possible you always put on the same sweatshirt. Jan displeases me. I run to the closet and get my mad shirt and my silent treatment pants. That's what I wear every time she displeases me. My mad shirt and my silent treatment pants. Somebody does something that you think is foolish. Maybe they get themselves in trouble. They hurt themselves somehow. And the standard outfit that you wear whenever that happens is, well, you got them serve them right pants, and that'll teach them shirt. And that's what you put on. When people do foolish things, you know, I wear my serve them right pants. That'll teach them shirt. And that's the outfit that I always put on. There might be some old clothes that you still wear too regularly. Doesn't mean that there's not a you. It's just you still got that old wardrobe and you put that stuff on way too regularly. Partly perhaps just because you're used to doing so. Maybe there's some situation, some happening. It always makes you wear malice and greed. Whenever the new car advertisements come out, you get out your greed shirt. Put that on. Whenever anybody talks about the Republicans, you get out your malice shirt. When you wear that. Or the Democrats. So there could be something that, you know, it's really your old clothes, but you're just used to putting it on. But because of the grace of God, you could take that old greed shirt off. You could just take it off, lay it aside. And you could look in the closet and you could find a new kindness pullover. And rather than the greed shirt, you put the kindness pullover on. It looks, by the way, it looks good on you. It goes with what's inside. It goes with like that new creature that you are in Christ Jesus. I very much like the take off, lay aside, and the put on type of language that Paul uses here. I think it captures the really important point of it being something that we need to do. It's something that needs to be done. You don't create or destroy things by putting them off or by putting them on. I could have a bunch of clothes in my closet that I never wear. I don't create them. I don't destroy them by never wearing them. They just sit in my closet all the time. But the presence or absence of something in your life and in your relationships is determined by whether or not, by your actions, by whether or not you put it on or whether you take it off. I could have the most gorgeous sweater at home in my closet and you don't even know it if I never wear it. You know, if I never put it on. So the presence, you know, or the absence in my life and in my relationships is determined by something I do, whether I put the thing on or whether I take it off. Christ has worked so that all the bad stuff is atoned for. And it all can come to an end. But it's necessary for us to take off and lay aside all the clothes that go with it. This isn't a very good analogy, and certainly not perfect, but you know, maybe you have a son or daughter or a friend or neighbor or something who graduates from high school and now goes to college. Once that happens, you can quit wearing the old high school sweatshirt, right? You could put on the new college sweatshirt because your loyalties has changed. You know, you no longer have to be loyal to the old high school. You can show your loyalty to the new college. But you could, of course, keep wearing the old high school sweatshirt. You could also never put on the college sweatshirt. You could just keep wearing stuff that belongs to the former age and not wear stuff that goes with what's true now. We can do something like that, I think, kind of in how we live our lives. You can just wear clothes that goes with the old you. You still got that? Take that off. And there could also be new things. I've never seen you wear that. Put that on. Wear that. It's right there because of the grace of God, because of Christ's work in you, his gift to you. So this year, I'm encouraging you, snoop around in your closet. Pay special attention to some really cool things that you can wear because of the grace of Christ. Consider what you might drag out of your closet and wear in your closest relationships with spouse, kids, relatives, family, closest friends. What might you wear because of the grace of Christ in those closest relationships in your own life? It's easy, I think, in our closest relationship to develop patterns. I'm not against patterns. I am against bad patterns. It's possible to get tripped up by the same thing over and over and over again, isn't it? When you have any relationship with somebody that's really close, and before you go, I know how many times that person has pushed my button and I've responded in anger. I'm not going to do it this time. And then you go there and the button gets pushed. And you drag out the same wardrobe that you always wear in this situation and you put it on and you do the stuff, right? So it's easy in closest relationships to develop patterns. And you put on the same clothes whenever that pattern works like clockwork. You know, sometimes it can almost be funny. I could say, you know, when Glenn comes over to my house, you watch. I'm going to say this about Ford trucks. And when Glenn's going to go off, because, you know, I know how to do it. And you get to run outside and get his angry sweatshirt and come running back in. Just how it works. So I want you to think in your closest relationships. Maybe you should find something different in your closet to wear. Something that's there because of Christ. I also want you to encourage to rummage around in your closet with respect to fellow believers. I want you to encourage you in the coming year to put some things on for the sake of brothers and sisters in Christ. If you never or if you seldom put on anything that you have in Christ for the sake of the church, change that in the coming year. In that sense, if you never get dressed up for church, you never, you know, why should I put on any of the kindness or the compassion or the tenderness or the care or the hospitality, or why should I do that for, you know, for brothers and sisters in Christ? Put on some of the things that are found in Christ for the sake of the church. Paul says everything he wore was for the sake of the church. So for some fellow believers, find some stuff in your closet that you should wear for their sake. I want you to rummage around in your closet, you know, before you go to work or school or, you know, or hang out in your neighborhood. Let what Christ has put within you be testified to by what you wear just when you're kind of like out there among the Gentiles, so that what you wear bears testimony to what Christ has put within, the transformation that's come within. And then just one more area, rummage around in the closet to see what you should wear with respect to those who are in need. I mean, you have an abundance. You have the answer. You know the way. I mean, you have the light. You have life. And I want to encourage all of us, don't just wait for a need to cross your path. In that sense, don't just be passive and say, yeah, I'd be very willing to help anybody in need if they just come knock on my door or send me a text or something. Don't just wait for the need to cross your path. Go find someone. Go search out. I was just wondering if there's need here. So find some, you know, look for the one who's struggling or has some needs or some pressure. People tend not to wear signs, I'm in need. So, you know, sometimes you have to look a little bit. But go find that person who's in need and put something on that you found in Christ, you know, that could be an encouragement, a support, a help to that person in need. In all of this, I'm especially urging us to snoop through your closet for areas where you've become used to wearing the very same thing. So think about how you respond, whether it's people closest to you or with work associates or with brothers and sisters in Christ or in the neighborhood, where you always tend to wear the same outfit. I want you to think about that. Maybe you'll come away and say, you know what, I think I'm wearing the right outfit. Great. So you might add a nice accessory. You could maybe get that, you know, nice compassion shirt, just get a little belt of kindness and put that on there. You know, so even if you're wearing the right thing, you might accessorize a little bit. But perhaps you also realized there that you wear something that's too old. It belongs to the former you, the former manner of life. Still have it in the closet, and you tend to wear it kind of in situations and in relationships and in happenings. And you're just used to wearing it there. Whenever Aunt Nellie comes over, that's what you wear. Especially those places where you're just used to wearing something. If it's too old, take it off. Lay it aside. Rummage around in the closet. Put on something different that you found in Christ. There's stuff that's been given to you because you're chosen of God, because you're holy and beloved. Find that stuff and put it on. Take the grudge coat off, the new forgiveness hoodie. You know, wear that. Nobody has resources for living like those who have received Christ. Not rich people, not smart people, not people with degrees, not people who run companies. There is nobody who has resources for living like those who have received Christ. Nobody has a possible wardrobe in their closet like those who know Christ. People who don't know Christ, there's all kinds of things they might wish they could wear. They don't own it. They don't have it. They couldn't put it on because they don't belong to them. But those who know Christ, it's right there in the closet. You could put it on. You could wear it. Knowing Christ, there's lots of old things, ugly things actually, that you no longer need to wear. And there's lots of good things. There's lots of amazing things that you could wear. You could wear them this year. So by God's grace, you got a pretty cool wardrobe. Fits you perfectly, by the way. Fits who you are. You've been raised up with Christ. Your life is hid with Him. It fits you to wear that. So, pretty simple, I guess. But just look in the closet. Realize what you can wear. Look at all those things that, you know, you can put on because of Christ. And you say, I can wear all that stuff this year. It's going to be a pretty good year. Can't wait to put that on. Can't wait to wear that. You know, I'm looking for a situation, a happening, a relationship, where those things, I can get dressed up in that. So, again, it's nothing that you haven't heard. It's something that you don't know. But that imagery that's used here in Colossians 3, very simple, of getting dressed. laying things aside that no longer fit who you are, putting on that which does. Don't let that be part of your course for the coming year. I don't know if I've stirred anything in your heart or your mind than, you know, a certain relationship, a certain happening, a certain place where you say, you know what, the stuff that I tend to wear there, I don't think really fits the new me. It didn't come from Christ. It came from that wardrobe that I used to have when I was in the flesh. And I actually probably should take that off. Just lay it aside. Go find in the closet something different and put that on. I just want to give you a moment just between you and God. Again, maybe it's in your closest relationships. Sometimes that's where it's hardest to change. I mean, Jan expects me to put my crabby pants on when she does stuff to please me. You can hang them out for me. If I'm going to displease you, here's your crabby pants. You know, that's how it works. So sometimes, you know, maybe it's there. And you feel, okay, I just always put this on, you know, in those people that I care most about. Lord, I'll lay that aside. Put on something different. Maybe it's in a place where you don't venture. Lord, I never put on anything for other brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not on my radar screen. And Christ says, here, why don't you wear this shirt, these shoes, these gloves, for their sake. It'll do them good. You say, okay, I'm put that stuff on for the sake of the elect. One of the other examples that I gave, your workplace, those in need. Where should you take something off? Don't wear that anymore. Where can you pick up something? I don't think anybody's ever seen me wear a heart of tenderness, you know, a shirt of tenderness. But just keep looking in 2016, I'm going to wear it a lot. So I'm going to put it on. So just take a moment. Just quiet before the Lord and say, if there's any specific area that comes up or dimension, Lord, I'll lay this aside, but I'm really interested in pulling this out of the closet and putting it on. Only happens because of God's grace. I wouldn't be there except by God's grace to do that. Father, how amazing it is to us, Father, that you sent your Son, Father, whose birth we just celebrated. Father, send him to be one of us. Father, that we might come to share, Father, in all the things that belong to you. Share in your righteousness. Father, we pray that in the year ahead, Father, all those things that we used to wear, Father, before we knew him, Father, things that expressed our fleshly desires and our lusts and our selfish pursuits, our own ambitions, our own pride. Father, that in him, because of him, we would find the grace to lay those things aside. And Father, the new things that have come in him. Father, teach us to put those things on. Father, in all areas and dimensions and relationships of our life. Father, where it feels funny for us to wear something different. Father, help us with the awkwardness or the change of feeling or other whatever might hinder us. Father, for we would learn to, Father, wear daily in all our relationships. And all our happenings, things that we have found and know because of your provision in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for each one here who would put on the things of Jesus Christ in 2016. That you would, Father, see that desire in their heart and hear their prayer. So fill them with your Spirit. And that they walk clothed in the righteousness of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. I hope from the message that does make you excited about 2016, about what your life can be like, about what you can wear because of Jesus Christ. You can be the kind of person you always wanted to be. Gracious and loving and kind and tender and tuned to others. You show hospitality. You can wear all that stuff. It's right there in the closet. I hope that kind of makes you exciting about how you can be, how you can live in the coming year. That it really is sweet to follow Jesus. It's sweet to trust in Jesus. To know Him, to walk in His ways. Hope it stirs thankfulness in your own heart. Let's stand together and sing.